Oh, hell yeah. Stone Cold returns to Monday Night Raw and raises hell. Your full Monday Night Raw review starts right after this. Hey, so you guys love podcasts. You're listening to one right now. I've got a really good one for you. It's actually hilarious. It's called Shoot from the Hip. There are three co-hosts. It's Matt, Lancer, and Brian. They talk about ridiculous things like why knees aren't just called leg knuckles, some conspiracy theories, dealing with embarrassment, back to school. There are so many different topics that really are just crazy but are really entertaining. And actually, they have 5 stars right now on Apple Podcasts. So I would really recommend that you check them out. They're absurd but hilarious topics. And new episodes drop every single week at sfthpodcast.com. And you can kind of tell, this is going to be one of those shows that shoots quickly up the rankings. So get on board now. Check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You can find them seriously anywhere, right? Like, just go to iHeartRadio, Google Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud. They're also on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and their website, which is sfthpodcast.com. And on Twitter, you can check them out at hipshotpodcast.com. Also on YouTube at Shoot from the Hip Podcast. So check them out today, guys. I really think that you'll enjoy the show and get a kick out of it. I listened to one of their shows just before this recording of my podcast, and I'm telling you right now, I was laughing out loud. Some of the stuff that they talk about is, it's so off the wall, but it's so well done and genuinely funny. So check out Shoot from the Hip Podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
This is the WWE Podcast reviewing Monday Night Raw that aired last night from Madison Square Garden, and today is September 10th, 2019, and we're going to get to the Monday Night Raw review. I'm bringing on Mary Grader, and we discuss Monday Night Raw, and of course go off topic, but for good reason. Lots of speculation and things that we'd love to see, including a new faction, a true faction, who that could be. Not a group of two or three, but a true faction that we haven't seen since the Nexus a number of years ago. So we discussed the possibilities of that, when we'll see The Fiend versus The Undertaker, all of it. And so we're going to get to that. But first, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. You can find me everywhere podcasts are available and on WWEpodcast.com. And as always, if you would like to get an ad-free experience, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get your foot in the door for ad free a dollar. You get all of my shows, every one, a complete ad free experience. So I just want to give you guys that option. For those of you that may want to ditch the ads, you can do so at that particular site. And if you want to also support the show, you can go to the Support Show tab and click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping on Amazon. Kicks back a little bit to the show, so thank you guys who have done that. But it's also, for those geeks out there like myself, it's iPhone 11 announcement day. I'm excited. I'm excited every year. I'm the fool that used to stand in line outside an Apple store on launch day. Now I'm the fool that gets up at 3 a.m. and pre-orders the iPhone to make sure I get it on launch day. And so that's me. I'm that idiot. And so maybe you guys are too, but I will continue to be that idiot and continue to wake up early so I can pre-order the iPhone and overpay for a device that pretty much does the same thing that I have the iPhone from last year that can do. But they continue to just make me want something I didn't know I needed. And that's Apple's genius. Apple's genius is to be able to turn a small incremental change into all of a sudden a must-have. That is what they do, and I am fully aware of my weakness and the fact that they are duping me year after year after year for a phone that can do the same thing that the last year's phone did, for the most part, but I love it. I don't care. I will continue to shell out my money. Apple, here is my bank account number. Take your money. Okay. So moving on down the line here, I just want to touch on Monday Night Raw as a whole before we get to Mary Grainer and my conversation. I loved it. I really did. I thought Monday Night Raw, and you'll hear this from Mary too, I thought it was a very good show. Was there a missed opportunity from The Fiend not attacking Stone Cold Steve Austin? Maybe. Maybe there was. Maybe there was. Not that it would lead to a match, but I would love to have seen that to get heat on Wyatt. If that is indeed your case, your mission to get Bray Wyatt booed as a heel, what better way than attacking Stone Cold Steve Austin in Madison Square Garden? I mean, seriously. So, but it was didn't happen, wasn't meant to be, but that's okay because we got Stone Cold Steve Austin dishing out a stunner to AJ Styles, which I enjoyed. All just feels right with the world, as Michael Cole said, with Stone Cold opening up Monday Night Raw. I just, I mentioned this a month or so ago, that I can't get the sound of Stone Cold's music hitting every single time Monday Night Raw starts. It just feels as if every Monday Night Raw Stone Cold should open. It just feels right. It feels like it should happen. And Monday night, we got that happening, and it just, I don't know. It's something that I will never, ever get out of my muscle reflex in my brain. So I loved it. Stone Cold came out. I think he did a good job. He stumbled over a couple of words, but who cares? He did what he needed to do, dished out a stunner, drank a lot of beer, and left, and then came back at the end of the show and drank more beer. You know, was AJ hurt by the stunner in terms of burying him? No. No, it didn't. And think about this. Did anyone ever imagine just 5 years ago that we would see Stone Cold Steve Austin giving a Stone Cold stunner to AJ Styles at Madison Square Garden? Think about that for a moment. Just absorb that. No. The answer is no. Okay? The answer is no. And so it is just a special moment when that happens. The stunners are few and far between. I enjoy every single one of them. So we will see what happens with The Undertaker tonight on SmackDown Live. As I record this, we are 10 minutes from SmackDown ending. And so I'll review that show tomorrow with Anthony DeMarco, who we're moving up a day. I got a busy schedule with work and personal and all this other stuff going on. So we're going to move him up a day. We're going to talk to him about SmackDown Live tomorrow, and hopefully there's a lot of content there to discuss about The Undertaker and maybe some hints of The Fiend. And what I also would like to point out is The Fiend, more specifically the evil Mr. Rogers version of Bray Wyatt, when he hit the clock and it went from 3:16 to 11:19, super creative. First of all, I love that. And what is November 19th, you may ask? Well, it's the day that Undertaker debuted in WWE, November 19th, 1990. So that's certainly no coincidence. That clearly tells you that Bray Wyatt's focus is not on Austin, but on The Undertaker. That is where they're going. I do not believe that there is any deviation from this now. The mission has been set. The seed has been planted. We will be getting a Fiend versus Undertaker match. I truly believe that, and I'm all for it. And I think that this is going to be not a five-star classic, but more of a moment, more of a clash of personalities. And I think the chemistry will be there where it really wasn't in WrestleMania 31 5 years ago. I think that this is going to be Bray Wyatt's retribution match against The Undertaker. So I'm looking forward to it, whether it happens at Survivor Series, whether it happens at Rumble, whether it happens at Mania. I'm looking forward to it. And so, again, it hasn't been announced, but come on. Let's look at the facts here. Let's look at the writing on the wall. The money's there. Undertaker is still somewhat active. Let's do this while we can. So, all right. So one other thing I just want to touch base with you guys on before we get going to my conversation with Mary Grainer, I just have a question for you guys. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Well, the answer is kind of obvious, right? Of course, you take the money. So why don't you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Why do you keep doing it? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Besides, let's face it, when you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. I would not be telling you guys about this if it weren't the best. I don't tell you guys to go to places that I don't believe in or that I don't use myself. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Besides, did you know that you can bet on games after kickoff? What place can you do that, right? If by second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. So go join MyBookie, and they'll double your first deposit. That's right, double it. So the way you do that, you just visit MyBookie.ag today. That's MyBookie.ag. And you use the promo code WWE when you activate the offer. That's it. You just go to MyBookie.ag and put in my promo code of WWE, and boom, you get your first deposit doubled. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, guys, let's get to that conversation with Mary Grader and our thoughts on Monday Night Raw emanating from Madison Square Garden. And as always, guys, I will talk to you tomorrow. And again, my co-host Anthony DeMarco will be with me to discuss SmackDown Live. I hope you'll tune in. And again, thanks for listening and enjoy the conversation. All right, guys, welcome to the show. And I have a guest today that I normally don't have for my Raw review show. And Mary Grader is joining me to review Raw, which she has told me before the show was one of the best Raws she's seen in a while and has almost no complaints about the show. So, Mary, welcome to that. Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing?
All right, I'm doing good. And there's a little bit of a abbreviated but makeup show for last week. I was on vacation last week, as many of you know, but I am back full force, and so I didn't want to skip Mary, so we're putting her on today in a little bit of a shorter show, but hey, it's better than nothing. I wanted to get her on. I know that a lot of people that enjoy listening to her, and so
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So let's jump into Raw, because why did you like this show so much? Why did you feel it was one of the best Raws that we've seen in a while?
I don't know if it was just because they were back in the garden. I just felt that everybody was trying their hardest to put on the best show possible, and it didn't seem forced. Like I said earlier when we were talking briefly, if there were mistakes or there were like glaring things, I mean, I could point out that Charlotte missed like half her moves in the triple threat match, but or in the tag team match, I'm sorry. But like, it was still a good match. So it was good. It flew by. The next thing I knew, it was 10 o'clock. And Austin just brings a magic to it, and it just doesn't feel like they're reeling him out, because like he's doing, I just said before, I watched a video of afterwards, they had, you know, they were in the ring and he did another thing with AJ, and it's just like he's old man Logan now. Like, he's the old dude who's like just coming out and telling stories and doing whatever the hell he wants and actually like enjoying it, you know what I mean? So I don't know, it just seemed different. It was special, the opening sequence with AJ took the stunner like a champ, and who would have ever thought that you would see AJ Styles in a WWE ring getting a stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin?
never.
It kind of set the show for me. It was just kind of like, oh crap. And it was really good to see them in the garden. They had a sold out show. You know, typical New Yorkers, though, they were doing the punk chant at one point and I groaned. But it's the first time it seems like they've sold out a show in forever that wasn't a post-Mania show or a post-pay-per-view show. And it added to the element. Everybody was really excited to be there. And the pop that Austin got when he first came out was just deafening. So, all right, I'm done for right now.
I'm very positive on the show, probably not to the almost level of perfection you are, but definitely a double thumbs up for me on the show. And maybe it is because of Madison Square Garden. Maybe it is because of where they were, which I would hope it's not, because this level of effort should be put in every single week, not Absolutely. Just because they like to announce 40,000 times when they're in a big market of where they are, and they like to hide where they are every time they're in a smaller market. But I hope the level of effort here is continued and not just, well, we're in Madison Square Garden, we got to put our best foot forward. Why don't you guys put your best foot forward every single week? And yes, we're not going to have Stone Cold every single week. And he still gets the biggest pop of anybody on the roster, and he has not had an active match since 2003 in Seattle at WrestleMania 19. That's how big Stone Cold was and still continues to be a huge piece of the foundation and fabric of WWE. I love the opener from Austin. The stunner, I loved. I thought it was actually going to be Gallows and Anderson taking the stunner, and then the Fiend would interrupt, something like that. But we still got a stunner on AJ Styles. And then, as you said, at the close of the show, that wasn't aired, but we saw what happened. He took another stunner. I mean, it was the crowd loved it. The crowd was hot. The crowd can really multiply and cover from mistakes mistakes in matches that may not be as good, even though the matches were stellar, but this crowd was hot for the majority of the night. Austin seemed to take a lot of that juice out of the building for the first half hour just because of how just emotionally attached and charged people are towards Austin. But I love the match quality. That tag match with Charlotte and Becky versus Bayley and Sasha was excellent. Yes, Charlotte missed her finishing maneuver, which I mean, if you're going to miss a move, don't make it the finish, right? Because that's
she
what's
finished
replayed.
Strong though. She finished strong at the end of the match when she hit the natural selection. She hit it really good. So it was, you know, again, there could have been glaring things, but it was just, I left watching the show asking questions. It felt like they were actually setting up for long-term things or things that could keep going. That tag team match, I think this is a precursor to them forming a stable. That's me being all positive about it, but I think the Four Horsewomen were finally getting it, and I think it results in Becky dropping maybe the title and turning bad because Charlotte's already bad. So, but I had to, you know, I could glare about Bayley. Like, you turn her bad and she's still trotting out in her gear, that ponytail and her music. And it was just, it took the air out of it. Even if, like, she's not, like, being, like, overly barreling a different character, like, there's slight adjustments. If they changed her look and her music, it would stick so much better than what they did last night. Maybe they're working on it, and sometimes that happens. But that's a glare. There you go. There's something not perfect in the episode. I was really pissed off about it.
I've been pissed about it since they turned her, because Bayley's explanation is, well, what did you guys expect? But, I mean, the thing is, she's still talking down to the fans. She has been very, very, very flat as a SmackDown Women's Champion. There's just no excitement with her as champion. The crowd has turned at her at times throughout her babyface run, and I just don't understand why they aren't changing her completely. She's right now they're positioning her as a heel that still has the babyface characteristics that she had when she was a true face. I don't know why they're not just fully going with the new music. Get the stupid Bayley buddies out of the entrance. Take her side ponytail. Just let her hair down. Frizz up her hair. Give her something.
So yeah, that's the glare, because you know it's only been like a week and a half since she turned, so I can give you last week, like, maybe not full transition, but you're having like a focus match, like a big match with Charlotte and Becky, and you're with Sasha, who didn't change her look up that much, but she still changed her look up, but she, you know, her music works for a bad guy or a good guy, so there's things that you can nitpick, like I said, but I really don't want to nitpick the episode, because I just, it moved. It just moved. And all the matches, the match after the opening with Stone Cold, it was Cedric and AJ, I believe, right? Yep. It was awesome. It was such a good match. It was like the first solid half hour that I've seen. And there was no kind of BS Fuller. There were a lot of matches last night, or at least it felt like it was to me, maybe, or they were longer. It just felt like a different show. And it shouldn't be just because it's the Garden, but they hadn't been back to the Garden in like 10 years. They did a good job of doing like a welcome home show, I guess.
Right. It kind of felt like a pay-per-view show that was just on Raw. I mean, because that tag team match with Charlotte and Becky versus Sasha and Bayley could have easily been on a pay-per-view, and they put it in the Garden. So it was kind of like just a little bit of a notch below a pay-per-view, but put on free TV. So that, I mean, the length of the match, that might have been to me the match of the night. Maybe even outside of the triple threat with Corbin and Ricochet.
That match
and Joe
was so good. that's like, even Corbin, like, I'm on the King Corbin board. I think it'll work. He's doing a really good job. He's gotten significantly better in the ring. And he did a deep six sequence last night in his match. And I was like, oh my God, it was good. I like his finishers. I always have. So it was a good match. It was a really good match.
Oh, it was really good. And I could absolutely see Corbin as the king. He would be a shoo-in, a perfect fit for that role. And he could really use that as a launching point to throw it in the fans' face, throw it in his opponent's face, tell people to bow down to him, all that usual heel nonsense stuff that they do after the heel wins. He is a perfect fit for that role. And if you notice, the crowd actually cheered for Corbin when he won. And that, to me, was the first time that I've heard that. And maybe it's the rebellious New York crowd about the bizarre world, all that nonsense. But I think it's also a level of respect to say, hey, this guy's good at what he does, and we love to hate this guy. That's a compliment for Baron Corbin to get that reaction after the victory.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's kind of like he wants that kind of heat, but people are recognizing that he's been putting in the work, you know, so he's not, I mean, the whole Lacey thing, them taking him off TV for a little bit, I think they did, and then bringing him back, it worked this time for once.
Oh, the best thing they ever did for him, and that's what I, you know, was saying for months before that match, their third go-around with Lacey and Becky and Seth and Corbin. I said the thing that Corbin needs is to just go away. Just disappear for a month or two and come back, and the fans will, I think, they'll hate you, but they won't have the go-away heat of, like, just the groaning of, oh, my God, he's still here. It's like channel-changing heat. That's not what you want. So, like, Corbin, it's exactly what he needed. He's got a slightly different look. He's always been good on the mic. He would be a perfect guy to win this tournament. Now, what it's going to mean, I don't know. They're making this tournament feel important, which is the first time they've done that in probably a decade and a half.
Yeah, it feels much different than the last go around that they had with it, which wasn't too long ago. But yeah, it feels different. And them entering that triple threat match when there was, you know, a no contest or it was a double pin, that was, like, really smart. I've never seen them do something like that before. It, you know, usually the match would have gotten restarted or some BS reason, the ref, blah, blah, blah. But they're like, no, we're going to have a triple threat match for, you know, the finals. And that's crazy. I thought it was a really good idea and a good move.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I know it was last week. I wasn't a fan of how it all of a sudden they implemented the rule of having instant replay in WWE that just got magically there. And then the referee says, no, we're just going to put both of you in. And in no world in the history of sports do you have both competitors go to the finals. But I understand why they did it, because it's the Garden. They want an exciting semifinal. They want to put Ricochet in that match and make him feel big time. And they did. They did. All guys shined. Would I like to see Samoa Joe actually win a big match for once? Yes, I've been on that train for years. But they didn't, and they went with Corbin, which I'm fine with. I don't think Ricochet is ready for this position in terms of being, you know, winning a huge match for a title such as King of the Ring or an actual championship. Like the Universal Championship level. He's obviously won the United States Championship, but I think they need to just level him back a bit. Let the fans learn who he is. Still don't know who he is, really, other than he does really cool moves and he's a good-looking dude. We don't know a whole lot about Ricochet, so it's time to just settle in, give us a foundation of who and what you are, and I'm fine. And I love Corbin winning. I would have loved Joe winning, too. I was fine with either one.
Yeah, they finished it good. I don't have any complaints. It's going to be interesting to see the final match since they have Gable running as the underdog, but I think, you know, it's kind of obvious that they're going with Corbin. So we'll see on Sunday.
Yes, we will. Yeah, we definitely will. So also kind of moving down the line here, I know that there was also a Lacey Evans and Natalya match, and this ended up with Natalya going over. What did you think about that match?
I wasn't really paying attention to it too much. And it wasn't anything personally towards Natty. It was towards her because she's just been so terrible. I was running around at that point. That was and I heard them booing. And then the CM Punk chant started, and I was just kind of like, all right, I'm out of this match. So I didn't really think anything of it. I'm surprised I had Natalya go over.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Lacey would have went over, but, you know, I guess they gave her a moment in the Garden, which, you know, you don't want to have with Lacey Evans, but, you know.
No, I mean, she goes.
She can have.
right, exactly. I mean, she loses three straight matches to Becky Lynch and then goes, you know, kind of into the abyss, and now she's losing to Natalya. I think that Lacey Evans, she got her shine. I think that was the purpose of just to establish her as a credible star and not actually make her champion anytime soon, but just give her that start. Give her the ignition to introduce yourself, give her the platform to put yourself on the big stage, introduce yourself to fans, let them hate you, let them understand your character, and then just kind of go back to the mid-card for a while, and that's fine. That's totally fine with me. I think Lacey Evans has a lot of work to do in-ring and a little bit on her character. I don't hate her character like a lot of people. I think she speaks differently, which annoys some people, which, hey, if you're a heel, that's exactly what you want to do. She has a unique look to her. She's certainly athletic. She's a former Marine. She has the credibility. There's a lot to Lacey Evans that we haven't seen yet, so I'm fine with her developing slowly in the mid-card. Now, one thing also I wanted to talk to you about is, and we touched on it a little bit, was the Firefly Funhouse with Bray Wyatt. While the Fiend didn't actually appear, which I was a bit disappointed on that, I would love to have seen an interaction with him and Austin. Bray did mention Stone Cold during his Firefly Funhouse segment, and he was talking about, I don't know if it was Rambling Rabbit or one of his puppets had the 3:16 clock that was stuck on that time since Austin came in, and Bray Wyatt fixed the clock for him by smashing a hammer on it, and it changed to 11:19. And so I did a little research, and I'm like, what is November 19th? It's a Tuesday, so I don't know what that means. Do you have any idea? You have any hunches?
Well, there's rumors, I mean, from what I saw online today and last night, that it's going to be The Undertaker because he debuted on November 19th, 1990. So, or it could just be November 2019, like that's when they're going to like go full throttle with him. But I'm leaning more towards The Undertaker. I think it's not going to happen as soon as people think, or it's going to happen at Survivor Series. But that's why I was watching SmackDown, because he opened the show, Undertaker, so I wanted to see what would happen. But I walked back in, so I don't know what happened. But I think that's where they're going towards, because he's been attacking legends, and he's been attacking people that he remembers, or somebody who did him wrong, or that seems kind of like the pattern, I guess. I'm pulling at straws right now, but I don't think they would ever have him come out and attack Stone Cold Steve Austin in Madison Square Garden. It's just not going to happen. Like, yeah. Wasn't going to happen. Then not after the reaction. I think even if they had a plan, they pulled it. Like, they weren't going to do that. I don't think they need to do that. Undertaker is a better fit for Bray Wyatt.
Oh, no question. I mean, I never thought that there would be a Stone Cold Fiend match, but just to get the heat on the Fiend attacking the most popular star in the history of wrestling ever. I mean, to get the heat on him, to turn him as a heel, because he's clearly positioned as a heel, even though the crowd isn't reacting to him as such. The fact that you attack Stone Cold Steve Austin, there is no better way to get heat on this planet than to attack him. And it's an easy bump. It's not even a bump. It's just the mandible claw. You just kind of lay down. So it's safe for Austin to do. But yeah, I mean, not that I think there was a match. It was a good time for heat. But as you said, I think it's Undertaker. It has to be Undertaker. If it's November 19th, 1990 that he debuted, which I believe is correct and you are, then clearly that's where they're headed. And there's no other way to do it other than for him to attack and get into a true program with The Undertaker, which I believe is down the line. It makes total sense. Undertaker debuted 29 years ago. It'll be a nice even 30 next year. And there's, you know, rumors of retirement next year. Who knows? But the fact is the Fiend and The Undertaker are on a collision course. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I would, like I said, I would guess Survivor Series, because that's where he debuted. But I don't want to put too much stock into it. Like I said, it all seems to be leaning towards The Undertaker, and I know that like you want to see more interaction with him, but I'm kind of happy that they're still doing the vignettes and not putting him on TV and shoving him down our throat all the time. So I'm cool with just like kind of watching and wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job of not overexposing the Fiend. I mean, we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, since he attacked Jerry the King Lawler, almost 3 weeks ago? So they are doing a really good job of making you wonder and wait, and it makes it feel really special when the Fiend debuts. And I still love the fact, too, that they're continuing with the Firefly Funhouse and didn't let that part of Bray's character fade away into the Fiend only. I love the fact that he has these split personalities. He seems so natural and just himself, and it's not coming from, you know, people in a boardroom that think they know Bray Wyatt. This is clearly Bray Wyatt being Bray Wyatt, and I love that part of it. And if they're going to transition or have the Fiend debut or re-debut or appear, it has to be meaningful and there has to be a mission. And that's what it feels like. It doesn't feel random. I love how cryptic some of his tweets are. If you look at his timeline on Twitter, it's like a riddle, like a wall of riddles. I mean, there are probably there's overarching meanings to these things. He's just so intriguing and he makes you think. He is, I would say, the hottest thing WWE has right now, beyond Seth, beyond Becky, beyond Charlotte, beyond anyone. I would say The Fiend and Bray Wyatt is the top star WWE has right now, even above Roman Reigns. I really believe that.
No, he does, but it's just because we haven't been overexposed to it. So I would think he's the hottest thing. He's the most original thing in the WWE right now. But like I said, we got to see how it plays out. And I think it's going towards The Undertaker with that whole message.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, and the people are going to go nuts. People are going to lose their minds when it happens. It's going to be a really cool visual. And I think further adding to our argument, in the Firefly Funhouse, he talked about how the Fiend never forgets and that see you in hell. And then he waves goodbye, like, you know, and so that.
I mean, it could be Hell in a Cell, too. Now right, that you just right. said that, it just clicked, and that's next month. So, see you in Hell, and Hell in a Cell is his match, his Undertaker's match. It could be leaning towards that, too. Maybe it's going to be, like, a three thing. Like, you know, they do Hell in a Cell, then Survivor Series, and then, you know, Royal Rumble in January.
Oh, it could be. It could be. I mean, but the thing is, Undertaker, and I thought about that, too, but Undertaker references Hell all the time. He's going to take your soul to Hell, and all this. I mean, he... His promos throughout the years have referenced Hell, you know, consistently. So could it be Hell in a Cell pay-per-view? Yes, it could be. But I think, too, that it would probably be more of like Survivor Series. And the thing that he said that the Fiend never forgets. Well, when you think back to WrestleMania 31 when they had their match that was almost forgettable, that's what I think he's referencing, is that I did not forget about that match 5 years ago. So that is also at least just my guess as to that piece of the answer for his riddle.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with Steve Austin, the whole, you know, vignette, they were screaming Stranger Danger, and he was saying, you know, he didn't really attack strangers, even though he's attacked a whole bunch of legends. So maybe that has something to do with it, too, that he's, like, you know, going down the line of people that have done him wrong since, you know, he's debuted in the WWE as Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, very well could be. I just, this isn't a random attack on legends attacking Finn, although they had a program, too, attacking Kurt Angle. I don't remember them ever having a program. You know, attacking Jared the King Lawler, I don't think they ever had a program. Mick Foley, I don't think they ever had a program. But maybe there were some words exchanged on Twitter. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe, you know, maybe it'll all come full circle. Or he just has a thing for being, you know, kind of a Randy Orton part two of attacking legends and being the legend killer, whatever. I don't know. But if this whole thing makes sense, I'm on board. I like that he is just, like, right now, that mask has morphed his career and accelerated it well beyond anything he could have done probably on his own. That mask is, and I don't want to say it's not credited to Bray Wyatt, but the mask is so genuinely scary that, like, I'm scared as a 34-year-old man of that mask. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Like, that mask is legit. I would not want it in my house. Like, it scares me, and that's awesome. I love that. I love it. And it's the most genuine feeling that I have for a character. So, yeah, that's ultimately where they're headed. He'll probably have, I would think, a program between now and then, and not just jump to The Undertaker. I would love a little bit more of a build. I don't want him even jumping into a title picture yet, because I don't want him being a champion attacking The Undertaker. That wouldn't make sense. So having a few feuds in between, maybe they're aiming at WrestleMania. I don't know. But if this is a long arc storyline to get to The Undertaker, I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting watching it play out and seeing where Bray Wyatt lands as far as the Universal title or the WWE title goes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm on board for this 100%. So another match that I saw that I really enjoyed, too, and you're kind of right with this whole up and down the card on Raw here. I really can't find a stinker here. The Viking Raiders, Cedric Alexander, Seth Rollins, and Braun Strowman versus the OC, Ziggler and Rude. The winners here were the Viking Raiders, who got their biggest moment in the entire career just being stuck in this match. Cedric Alexander, Rollins, and Strowman won the match. While it wasn't the longest match, I still enjoyed it for what it was. I'm fine with it. You know, it was the Teddy Long special of a 10-man tag, and it ended up with the babyfaces winning and Austin coming out to celebrate in the ring with beers for everybody. So what did you think about the final moments of Raw and the match itself?
Okay, I'm going to go on a little rant right now because remember when we were talking about, like, 2 weeks ago with Dolph Ziggler and, like, what they could do to, like, revitalize him? So they put him with Rude, and they were really, really good in their tag team match. What if Rude and Ziggler join the OC as new members? And AJ Styles has an actual stable instead of a three-man tag.
Listen, every time we talk about Ziggler, we start fantasy booking him. It's hilarious. I love it. So I would love it. I think AJ Styles needs to be the leader of a faction, not just a trio, as you just said. AJ Styles is a leader. He needs more guys to lead, and Ziggler and Rude need people to lead them because neither one are leaders. I mean, let's just face it. Ziggler is bouncing here, there, leaves for 6 months, comes back, I quit, I'm back, it should have been me, it's, you know, all this stuff. He just is all over the place, and I find Ziggler entertaining. I don't dislike him. I think he's a phenomenal talent that never truly reached his full potential, and maybe he will, but it's been so long, I don't have a whole lot of hope that he'll reach the level we all believe he could. But with all that said, where he's positioned now, and Robert Roode is even more lost than Ziggler. It's the blind leading the blind right now. And having them get some direction and put them with the OC, hell yes. Like, I'd do it. But I would love it. I just don't see it because of the fact that WWE, in general, is short on tag teams. So
can still fight like a tag team. I mean, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn did it, and they were part of a faction. There's no reason they can't be. So Luke Gallows and Anderson are a tag team. It's just that, not to cut you off, it's just that, yeah, they're both a mess separately and in their singles run. And, like, they've come a little more together as a tag team, but they don't, you know, look like a tag team. But, like, if you put them in a group, they will definitely have their own position as a character within a group. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
They could work with other people, and you could have, you know, you have Gallows being the muscle, obviously, in that group. But, like, having Ziggler be, you know, the sneaky F and Rude being, you know, the technical dude, like, it works.
And to be honest with you, what is the last true faction that we've seen in WWE? Nexus? I mean, what is the last faction that, not a tag team, not a trio, I'm talking about four or more that are consistently there?
I can't tell you.
I mean,
can't tell you.
No.
I can't tell you. It's Nexus. Always been threes, and they make it a faction. Like, you got the Undisputed Era down in NXT, and that's four. I consider that more of a faction than, you know, three people. It's just something, it's always something that bothers me. I don't consider a three-man group a faction, because I still think, like, Freebirds and stuff like that.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, I can't tell you when the last time they had an actual genuine faction was, other than the Nexus. And that they crapped the bed with that. So.
And that, I remember, I know this is not about Raw, but we've never talked about the Nexus ever. And I loved Wade Barrett as the leader of the Nexus. I love the whole idea. I remember the night they debuted and just tore up Raw, and you're left going, what the hell just, what was that? I mean, we're all, because it was such a change from the constant routine and predictability of how Raw would end. You're just left going, what is this? Who are these people? And it was awesome. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of stars come out of that, unfortunately, when NXT was more of a joke than it is now. But it felt like a true invasion. And yes, John Cena ended up getting his mythical golden shovel out and burying Wade Barrett under like 40 chairs. I remember how the whole thing ended. And then he turned into Bad News Barrett and off he went. But yeah, the Nexus, I believe, was the last true faction, what, like 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. I wasn't really watching wrestling then. So, yeah, it had to be before that. So, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
9 years, yeah.
So we are long overdue for a true faction. And AJ Styles, at this point in his career, look, he's done almost everything he can do as a single star. I'm not saying have him have a singles run again, but he's in the point where he has been so successful that he is at the giving backstage of his career and helping make new stars and other stars. That's the purpose of factions, even tag teams, if you want to make that argument, is anytime you get groups together, factions together, it's to create new stars. And eventually there's an inevitable breakup, and that's fine. I don't want them to go overboard like what they did with the corporate ministry and have, you know, half the roster on in a faction, or like what they did with the NWO towards the end of it, where it was just so watered down and they had everybody joining the NWO and it was just didn't feel special. But four or five guys, hell yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, I just, when I was watching it, it just made sense because they were like, you know, we have mutual enemies, and, you know, my friend What's the saying?
I mean, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's what it is. I'm really bad with sayings, guys. So it works. They don't really have any qualms with them, and all it can do is add to the OC running the brand like they say they are doing. It works better with more people when you have more people in your pocket and you guys can rule as a group. Like, it just right. works. So I think it would be really, really beneficial for everybody involved if they made them a stable and just had them run shot, you know, all over Raw. I think it would work.
Yes. And they all, I mean, especially Ziggler and Rude, who I think could showcase their talents very well in a stable. But as we all know, just throwing guys together that look good on paper, it doesn't always work out. I mean, look at the League of Nations, how awful, just awful
they
that was.
They didn't try with it, though.
I know, but it just, on paper, if you didn't see them together ever, and it was the first time you're sitting in a board meeting, creative meeting, and you're looking at this going, man, this would be awesome. You have guys from all these different nationalities, these, you know, individually, they've been fairly successful. They're powerhouses, all this. And then you get them together on Raw, and it just flops from day one. I mean, and the League of Nations, it's not even a bad name. I don't even dislike League of Nations. It's a good name, but maybe it is a lack of effort, a lack of execution, and just a lack of natural chemistry that just never came together. I think it underdelivered in a huge way with the League of Nations. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I it was such a blip on the radar that, like, I don't even really have any feelings about it. But, like, going back to Rude and Ziggler, they could do a total storyline run right now just with them trying to prove their worth to the OC, like attacking people for them and doing things for them and them earning their way into the club. And it just it levels them up. It gives them a focus and, like, you know, a storyline or a goal. And then they could get there. And I think it would be a really interesting thing if they did that, because the rules are off. It's not the Bullet Club anymore. They specifically called it the club, and, you know, they put the OC thing to differentiate. I can't speak that those two factions and, like, be like, well, this is a WWE product. We'll make it a WWE product. Put a TNA guy in there and put a WWE guy in there. Like, let's do it. And it works.
It does. And I know that, look, we both agree on Ziggler, who has been just sort of underutilized and has the longest losing streak in the history of losing streaks, of losing big matches, but can sell for anyone, and then gets buried by Goldberg. And then, you know, he has these flashes of moments. And Robert Roode, too. I mean, or excuse me, Bobby Roode, or whatever he's being called now. WWE has this weird fetish with first names. They get rid of them, they bring them back, then they mutate them, then they add. they don't know what to do with first names. It's bizarre. But they have, I guess, Robert Roode now, who has debuted. I remember his debut in WWE, the main roster, and he had a really cool entrance, and his music was awesome. Like, I remember hearing his music for the first time, and I couldn't get it out of my head. I even paid $1.29 on iTunes to download it and played it for like a week. I'm like, this is just really good music. And so his entrance was good, but he was very, very, very one-dimensional, and he had one word that just defined his entire character, and that was extremely limiting in terms of his development. And we never got to really hear much more from Rude. He's got a great body, a good look, a nice, cool entrance, but he never had depth to his character. You never got to understand what he was, and this could be an opportunity that WWE should capitalize. It's kind of like now or never.
Yeah, I mean, when I see Bobby Roode, I've known him for a while. I didn't really follow him TNA, but I always knew that he was a good wrestler. But everybody always, you know, also does the Rick Roode comparison to him. He's got the physique like him. He has the robe like him. You know, he had that mustache for a while, I think. And it kind of worked. You could put him in a faction and he would be like Rick Roode was when he was in DX in the early days. It works. It just works. And they're missing a huge opportunity for, you know, Dolph to get something in before he's done. And this guy that they picked up that was a superior talent, and there's a reason why they picked him up when, you know, TNA started falling left and right with all their old school people. They picked him up for a reason. Use him. Try new things out. Get him out of this character. That's the problem that happens a lot. It's just that they will not try to change anything if stuff's not working. They are like, no, you're going to like this. And this is, they just don't think long term or try to think outside the box. They get this and this is their character. And then they just stick with it and they don't make any adjustments. We just said this earlier with Bayley. It's just get them out of there. You tried it. It worked. You crapped the bed with it. Now you have an opportunity, I'm saying, to put them, you know, with the OC and it works. Like, why can't they be in black and red and have their own gear? It works.
Sure. Sure. And what you could, I mean, I don't know if they're going to have him come out like with, you know, with a suit and a briefcase like Rick Rude did with the DX. But I love the addition of Rick Rude with DX, and Bobby Rude, Robert Rude, could be doing the same type of deal. Just he doesn't have to do a complete 180 in his character and what he does, but just give him something beyond his just kind of bland, glorious gimmick.
But he could use the glorious thing. He could be the arrogant dick. Like, not to feel like whatever. Like, I am glorious. Like, what? Like, and Dolph Ziggler can be this slimy, really good technical wrestler that takes people out and stuff like that. He's Weasley. It works. And, like, we could sit here. I'm just going to be really upset if this doesn't happen.
He's like, I saw it last night.
And it just, like, it was the first thing I thought when they were backstage. I was like, no, they could do this. This is, and you know, then I saw the match, the tag team match with the Four Horsewomen, as I mentioned earlier, and I was like, they could do that too. Do I think that's going to happen before Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler join the OC? No, but it's there. And like, if you just look at it from a different angle, it's something that you can use. And that's why I said last night felt like they were setting up things, like new things happen and new people were paired with each other, and it just felt different. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Yeah. No, it felt like a Monday night, a true Monday Night Raw episode. That's what it felt like, kind of bringing you back to what made them successful in the first place. And that's, oh, I don't know, wrestling, right? And good, awesome matches and getting you involved, not stupid, terrible backstage attempts at comedy. It just all seemed to flow and flow very well. And I don't know if this is a lot have to do with Paul Heyman. I'm sure that it, we'll never, ever, ever truly know the full effect that Paul Heyman has on the show, because we will never get backstage. Whether this is more of a facade and just kind of optics to make it look like Paul Heyman is truly having a ton of control, or Vince McMahon, who is just still truly in control. You can be the head of creative, but guess who all the decisions go through at the end of the day, which means nothing changes because I make the decisions still. And unfortunately, I think Vince is going to have a hard time stepping back truly from this product. So whether it's a combination of Vince, Paul Heyman, and the creative team totally shaking things up and just getting back to basics, or this is a complete anomaly and it's just because they're in Madison Square Garden, which I really hope it's not. I really enjoyed the show from top to bottom too. Even Roman Reigns's Connor's Cure, we got to make sure that we, you know, make all the sponsors happy segment. And I didn't really ask you about that, but I don't even know if you want to comment on it. But
I kind of walked out of the room again. I was doing stuff last night. I can't remember exactly what I was doing. I think I was cooking or I was doing homework, and I like kept getting up like on certain parts of the show. But I think that came back from commercial, so that's probably why I was already out of the room. So, yeah. No, it's nice. They do nice things. It's just I got stuff that I got to get done in a 3-hour period of watching a wrestling show.
I do too. And like, I mean, like, I agree. And they're just sometimes really, really heavy handed about this kind of stuff, where they just even throw the storylines away, and they make sure that they let everyone know that, look how great of an organization we are supporting kids. You know, it's what was it? Kids Leukemia Awareness Month, or Kids I don't know.
It's Children Cancer Month, I think.
Yeah, it's like something like that. And you knew when Roman Reigns had leukemia and he came back that they would that solidified it for me that he was never going to turn heel. You can't turn a guy heel that they already positioned as a babyface and all the kids love and all the women love, and then all of a sudden turn him heel when he could be a perfect spokesperson for all this Connor's Cure and all this anti-cancer and cancer cures they're trying to fund and all the sponsors that they have. You knew, I knew immediately that he was just going to be the face of the company when it comes to that kind of philanthropy philosophy and all that stuff. So when I saw, I'm not a big – look, I totally support all those causes. I think it's a great thing. Of course, WWE does good work with that. Sometimes I feel like it's more of a – more self-driven or has kind of an ulterior motive to just – make sure people see us differently than actually caring about what you're doing, if that makes sense. I don't know. But a lot of times they sacrifice the product's credibility and you being engaged in stories at the expense of them showing the public of, look at how sweet and wonderful and cuddly this company is.
Yeah, I mean, they do it sometimes, but that's what they got to do to make the money. So it is what it is.
They're a business.
Roman was very good last night.
He was. He actually felt more natural in that role than he has as his, quote, character in, like, 3 years. He has – although in general I have enjoyed the Roman Reigns character more than I have because he's not coming out there looking like he'd rather be anywhere else but here. I mean, he has had that look for years. And lately, the last month or so, I've noticed he's come out with more energy and actually looking like he wants to be there. So I don't know if he's faking it better or if he truly does want to be there more or if they just said, hey, Roman, like, you know, give the crowd a little energy and they'll give you energy back. I don't know. But so I'm just kind of going down the match card here to see if there's anything that maybe we didn't touch on.
So do you think, I mean, are you talking about the match card for Raw or I'm sorry, I was looking at the Clash of Champions.
No, we can go there.
Do you think Becky's dropping the title on Sunday?
My heart wants to say yes. I'm going to say, damn, man, you're putting me right on the spot. I didn't really. I'm going to go bold here. I'm going to say yes. And the reason I'm going to say yes is, number one, because I want it to happen, so that has a lot of effect on the decision. And number two, I think it's the right thing to do. I'm ready for Becky to drop the belt. I'm ready for Becky to move on. We've had the fun with her. It was a great story. Yay, she won the main event. I think it's time to have her drop the belt, and I don't think there's anybody on the roster that could drop right now, unless Ronda Rousey decides to come back and there's plans for her in a month. Then Sasha Banks, who I think has come back with guns blazing in a role that is more suited to her character as a heel. And she could be a phenomenal heel champion, gloating about how she beat Becky Lynch and how Becky beats Ronda. So by default, I beat Ronda. I mean, she could do a lot of stuff here. And it would I think, reignite Sasha Banks, who had just signed apparently another 3 to 5 year deal with WWE. I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm going to say yes, but I wouldn't bet a whole lot of money on it. What do you think?
I think she drops it. Sasha's too hot right now. They would be stupid not to. She's got something to prove, and it works in my theory that the four horsewomen are coming, and I think they're going to rule the women's division because they're all sitting there saying they're the best and that they did this and they did that, and you know they have a very, very deep history. And it just, you know, that's one notch in Becky Lynch, like, going to the dark side, is her dropping the title of Sasha Banks, because then everybody's going to gang up on her. Bayley, Charlotte, they're going to be like, you're worthless. And I also think Charlotte's winning the title on Sunday. So, I mean, but she might not. Maybe they're just going to go with Bayley and Sasha being best friends and holding both titles. I think that makes more sense for a storyline for them all to come together. But we'll see.
That can get some serious heat. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it is time. Becky, I'll be honest, I mean, I was on the Becky train, no question. I loved it. I just, over the past couple of months, I've been a little bit
annoyed. The Seth Rollins thing killed it.
Yeah, that to me
that,
was
I mean,
the
that
final...
was the nail in the coffin. It was kind of dying before that, but the just... Seth Rollins thing, like solidified it. It was like, we're done. And that's why they got rid of it so fast, too. Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody was on a in the hospital and there was barely a heartbeat and I just pulled the plug. I mean, that's exactly what happened with it. And she's been kind of flat, too, and a little bit obnoxious at times. And I'm ready for her to drop it before the fans turn on her. And I can sense that happening a little bit of saying, OK, cool, you're champion. We liked you better when you were in chase mode, which in general is a better role for babyfaces to chase heels as champions. So, yeah, I think if Bayley and Sasha were dual champions, they could really, really be obnoxious and get some serious heat week after week after week. Now, the question then becomes, too, with this looming potential another draft before October when they debut on Fox, that then would pose a problem of, well, you can't have both champions on the same show.
No, but you know what? I'm sorry. The draft thing's BS. Like, it's just like they don't even pay attention to it. They have this stupid wild card rule. I think they're just doing it for a show. It doesn't matter. People are going to show up. It makes it even better if two of them's on one show and two of them's on the other show. Then they're ruling the whole entire women's division. It just works.
And to be honest with you, I mean, I every time I fool myself every single draft that they have over the last couple of years, 3 years, that they're going to finally stick with, this is just going to be SmackDown in this world and Raw in this world. They're never going to overlap, only at the Rumble and Mania. And every time, I don't know why I try to fool myself into that, they end up crossing paths. People show up inexplicably, like just no reason whatsoever of just people showing up. And then there's this wild card rule, which was never enforced. And they just go back to the drawing board and go, well, people don't really care. People want to see stars. No, I want to see SmackDown and Raw beat separate brands. And when they cross, it's that feel special. But I don't know. So, all right. Well, Mary, it's been a blast talking to you. I know that, you know, normally we talk a little longer, but we'll get our chance in a few weeks after Clash of Champions. And football season started, and I know that that's keeping you busy too, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been pulling in the weekends, man. It's been busy at work, and I just started class, so I'm pre-exploding. I'm guessing like the third week of October I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, but it's cool.
Awesome. Well, whenever you have that nervous breakdown, hopefully it's on the week that we're not recording. So but I totally understand. So you got your plate is certainly full. No question about that.
Yes, very full right now, but I'm still squeezing in time everywhere. I'm trying.
No, I appreciate that, and the listeners appreciate that. And so you go get your stuff done. Go enjoy SmackDown Live, and we will talk in a few weeks. And wait, before we go, though, I got to, of course, let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
You guys can find me at Mare_Bare, Mare_Bare on Twitter, and at Poppins311 on Instagram.
Awesome. So, all right. Well, you go get your stuff done, and we will talk soon.
All right. Have a good night.
Right,
bye, guys.
You too. All right. Bye.